Bro. Live from the Don't Drop In, just off Highway 41 in Boca Raton, Florida, it's the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. 30 minutes of hard-hitting, no-holds-barred discussion about the exciting and dangerous world of professional alligator wrestling. With your hosts, the eldest of the Ringhausen Brothers, philosopher, historian, whiz kid, the first banjoist for the New York Philharmonic, and the legal representative of the International Brotherhood of Professional Alligator Wrestlers. A man who can drive a windy country road with the lights off, Richard J. Ringhausen. And, are you ready? Daredevil, sculptor, marksman, the seven-time World Welterweight Alligator Wrestling Champion, and winner of the silver medal in alligator wrestling at the 1992 Summer Olympics in Barcelona, Spain, a man who was once the mumbly peg champion for Jersey County, Illinois, the youngest of the Ringhausen brothers that are here, and the star of your show, Alan J. Ringhausen.
Yeah.
The dog's barking.
I know, the dog's barking. You know, we've had dog trauma lately.
That's what I heard. I heard sad news.
Sad news. It is sad news. The Mr. Noodles, one of our dachshunds, threw his back out and had a herniated disc, which is apparently a big deal for dachshunds.
It's apparently problematic with that breed specifically.
That is correct. And Mr. Noodles, you know, was terrible. You know, I take him out to do his business, and when I go to bring him back in, he's screaming. I mean, he's screaming, a dog screaming like a child screams. We end up taking him to the veterinarian hospital, the emergency room, dog emergency room. And by this time, he's paralyzed in his back legs, dragging his back legs. You know, we bring him home, and he's lost his bladder control, so now he's wearing dog diapers in addition to being partially paralyzed. But lo and behold, like 2 days ago, Noodles works up the gumption to stand on his back legs, you know, after we take him outside for a week, holding him up with a sling while he tries to do his business. And he's now got control of his bladder again, doesn't have to wear the dog diapers, and he can walk on all fours. He still has
wow.
He still has 6 weeks of crate recovery. But, you know, he thinks he's spry and ready to go, because mainly because he's on, like, hardcore pain medicine that makes him feel like he's himself again.
Can I ask a semi-sensitive question?
Ask away.
How close were you to tripping over the cord that was keeping Noodles alive?
Well, it's pretty sad when, you know, the dog dragging itself, you know, and dragging its back legs, you know, yeah, don't work. Pretty darn sad. But no, we had not reached the stage yet where you're going to have the discussion about the plug.
Okay. I'm kind of referencing that Saturday Night Live skit.
Oh, yeah, where they pull the plug on John Belushi when he's in a coma.
And he wakes up anyway.
Yeah. And says, you are going to pull the plug on me. I guess that's kind of the way Noodles was, too. But a dog that's, like, in that shape is really pathetic. it's like the saddest thing in the world to look at. You know, the vet says that there's, like, a 20% chance that he would walk again, and then here he is walking again. So Noodles is beating the odds as it stands. But he's got a long way to go.
That's awesome. That's good news.
That is good news.
Good news out of bad news.
Well, and the thing that's made me feel good about it is that Suzanne, you know, has been very patient with the dog, you know, and the time's going to come when, you know, when I'm paralyzed and in diapers, and the question is whether she'll take care of me or pull the plug. And, you know, she's held it real well with the dog, so I'm looking forward to the fact that I doubt she'll just immediately pull the plug on me, unless she calls my brothers.
That was going to be my next question. If she goes first, which of the three brothers are going to take up that role?
Well, I assume the three of you all get together and say, well, what do you think?
Rick ain't going to make it.
You know, his quality of life really isn't that good. He's in pain a lot. Nah, the decision.
Rick, if that was the case, we'd put you to sleep right now.
The quality of my life's not there. Yeah, probably so. Okay. You said you had topics just crawling out of yourself.
Okay, let me ask you this.
Yeah, ask away.
You probably spend a lot of time at doctor's offices and hospitals and stuff like that.
Veterinarians.
I mean, human hospitals.
Yeah, fair amount.
Okay, so you're going down the hallway in the hospital, and you pass a person in the hallway wearing scrubs, you know, obviously a hospital employee.
Yeah.
And they're carrying a plastic container that's maybe, I'll say, half gallon in size.
Okay.
Unlabeled. Do you just assume that it's their lunch or some part that's ready for transplant?
Well, if they're carrying it in a little cooler, I assume, not only would I assume it's a transplant, I would literally stop and ask them, so what you got in the cooler? Wouldn't you?
If you were there. If you were there, I would.
If it's not in an igloo container that they're going down the hall, I would assume it's their lunch or something that they've emptied out of a wastebasket in the hospital.
Okay. Okay, I got a different question.
Yeah, I'm full of it today. Ask me any question. I'm full of answers.
Okay. Let's say you're in a public building, and let's just say you're standing there waiting for Sue, and you're standing in this lobby area.
The wife.
There's a vending machine there.
Yeah.
And you see a person standing in front of the vending machine with a handful of change that they're rooting through to obviously...
Do you walk up and just slap their hand and knock the change all over?
From what?
Were you going to ask me, do you just walk up and slap their hand and knock the change all over the room?
Well, that's going to be one of three options. My question was going to be, would you offer some of your change to make things easier? Would you tap your foot impatiently as if you were wanting to get something out of the vending machine? Or would you slap the change out of the hand and then laugh?
When you were in high school, did anyone ever do that to you? I mean, if you were dumb enough to be counting your change in high school or junior high, you knew someone was going to just walk up and slap your hand, knock your change all over the room. And more than likely...
You never pull out a handful of change in high school without looking around first to make sure it's safe.
And the person who's most likely to knock the change out of your hand... It's going to be one of your friends.
Doug Smith.
You know, I thought Doug Smith, too. I was going to say one of your friends, but he would count in that category back then.
One of your friends or Doug Smith.
Yeah, even better.
How's that?
Okay, going back to your vending machine.
Let me revert back for just a second.
Yeah.
I was recently traveling on an airplane, right?
Yeah.
And I'm sitting next to this guy, you know, and... He's, you know, a chatty Cathy, and so you're heading back to St. Louis area? I said, yeah. He said, Missouri or Illinois side? I said, Illinois. And he says, me too. He said, I'm from the Pinckneyville area. What about you? And I said, well, I'm from Jersey County. And he said, I don't think I know where that's at. I said, you ever hear of Pierre Marquette State Park? He said, yeah, I've been there. I said, well, then you were in Jersey County. Oh, okay. And then he goes on some other subject. So later in the flight, this guy gets up and goes to the bathroom. And the guy across the aisle said, I couldn't help but overhear that you're from Jersey County. And he said, so am I, originally.
You're kidding. Really? That's interesting. Where are you flying from?
I'm from, you know, the western part of the county. I'm flying in from San Francisco. Okay, so, and I said, oh, okay. He said, where do you live in Jersey County?
Were we from the western part of the county?
My location. And he says, okay. I said, okay. He said, is that the Avalanche? I said, yeah. He said, then you're Ringhausen? I said, yeah. He said, well, I went to school with a Ringhausen. I said, oh, which one was that? He said, Allie?
Wow.
I said, well, who the hell are you? He told me his name. I'm like, oh, yeah.
And you
remember you.
And you still didn't remember him. Did you really remember him?
Yeah, I did. I really did. Once he told me who he was, you know, he was, you know, bald and gray-headed and older.
Did you say, man, you've really gone to hell?
Yeah, I wouldn't have recognized you in a million years.
Wow, you've had a hard life.
We chatted just a little bit, and then finally he says, well, what I remember is that and Larry Clunk had a band called Larry and the Clunks, right?
Ah.
Yeah.
That always concerns me.
He said, do you still play? I said, well, actually, just a few years ago, we had our 30th anniversary at the Elks, you know.
And, the old Elks building.
Packed the place. You couldn't squeeze another person in with a shoehorn. And he said, really? He said, that's fantastic. So after 30 years, you got back together and played, and you've been playing ever since? I said, oh, no. After we were done that one time, we broke our instruments and walked away.
We're not playing again until 40 years.
Yeah. I had no interest in playing with those guys.
You know,
I just left it at that.
Doesn't it always scare you when someone walks up and goes, do you remember me?
Look, if you're asking for money, forget it.
I've been plotting vengeance now for the last 35 years, and here you are trapped on an airplane with me.
As he's putting on a pair of leather gloves, and I'm going to kill you.
I thought that that guy was going to lean over and say, I don't see how you can stand that other guy. He just talked all the time. Do you want me to kill him for you?
That's my arch enemy. Okay, so I was out west, and I was visiting with my...
The eldest daughter. The eldest daughter?
The eldest daughter. And she...
Is that Alex's wife?
Alex's wife. Right. She owns an all-electric car. Have you ridden in an all-electric car yet?
I think one time I drove one, and it like automatically would shut off when you came up to a stop sign. It creeped me out.
No, those are hybrid vehicles that aren't truly an electric vehicle.
Okay, then no, I've...
Okay. Well, these, they are really quiet. You don't know they're running. You know, they don't really vibrate like a combustion engine. But they have an option that you can press a button and it'll make noise like a regular car. So you have that easier transition to go from, you know, a gas guzzler over to a fully electric car. Mentally... You associate traveling with a certain sound.
Does it have like a wife button that you can push and it'll make sounds like your wife is in the passenger seat with you? What?
I don't think there's not the technology for that.
Well, you were talking about self-driving cars. That's what made me wonder. So go on. Okay, didn't you tell me about self-driving cars?
Her car has that. You can... Only on, you know, like certain interstate highways, you know, you press a button and off it goes. You don't touch the wheel and it, you know, changes lanes and all that stuff for you.
Did that creep you out? I mean, I have a hard time imagining myself on an interstate highway tonking around at like 85 miles an hour and just letting the car do the driving.
It's modern science, Rick. It worked. Modern engineering. But in San Francisco is one of these flagship cities that introduced the Waymo.
I don't know what that is.
It's an all-electric driverless car, like a taxi, and you go on your phone, use the Waymo app, and say, pick me up at such and such location. And this white, it's a Jaguar, a white Jaguar, all electric, pulls up with nobody in it. There's nobody in this vehicle. And you press a button on your app, and it unlocks the doors, and you have so many minutes to get into it, or it'll, you know, close the doors and drive away. But you get into it, and you punch in your coordinates of where you want to go, and this thing just takes off, weaving through traffic, driving around San Francisco, and pulls up to where you're at and lets you out.
And it doesn't talk to you the whole way.
No, it doesn't, and you don't have to tip it.
Unless you tip it over.
That. But, I mean, there's thousands of them all over San Francisco.
So do they even have rickshaws anymore?
I don't know that they've ever had rickshaws.
In San Francisco, sure they are. Sure they do.
They had streetcars.
No, I know they had cable cars. You're talking about cable cars. That was a big deal in San Francisco. But they also had rickshaws that you could, and like San Diego has them too, that you can get someone who will, like, you know, grab the sticks and run ahead of you, pulling you in a rickshaw.
Well, maybe in some super touristy little select areas they may still have that, but they're not prominent. But the Waymos are everywhere. And it's kind of a weird feeling. You're just riding around, nobody behind the steering wheel.
It just kind of makes you wonder, you know, if you get one of these things, what if you just tell it where you want to go and delay a little bit getting in? Is it going to just take off without you and make an empty drive around the city?
Slam the door and cut your leg off.
But you have to call it. You have to call the thing to come pick you up, right? I mean, they don't just like circle around like a cab that you can just flag down and say, hey, I need a ride.
No, but when they shut down, they just shut down wherever they're at in the city and wait for the next call to come so that, like, you're never waiting for like more than maybe a minute or two, and they just arrive. It's like the Jetsons almost.
So it's like an Uber, only without a driver. It's a driverless Uber.
Kinda.
Well, that's just too darn creepy, man. All right,
that's
pretty
weird.
I got a commercial before we go on.
Okay.
Today's episode of the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour is brought to you by Uncle Den's Roasters. Uncle Den's Roasters are seasoned with a mouth-watering blend of secret herbs and spices known only to Uncle Den, and then slow-cooked for 10 hours over a bed of applewood coals from applewood grown in the Ringhausen orchards. Cooked so long that they are so tender that they fall off the bone. Mmm. Uncle Den's Roasters taste just like chicken, but it's not.
So, yeah, we haven't heard from Uncle Den in a while.
No, he's still alive, though. I talked to him the other day.
Right. He's calling them roasters.
Yeah.
And they taste like chicken.
Right, but they're not.
But they're not. So he's roasting some creature that has a meat base.
Yes.
Enough so that it tastes like chicken, but we don't know what it is.
You don't really need to know.
I guess I don't really care. You know, a few years ago, Subway sandwiches had that issue where they were selling a Subway sandwich and calling it a tuna salad sandwich.
But it was something other than tuna fish.
But when they had it analyzed, it was not tuna, but it tasted like tuna.
That's all you really care about, isn't it?
That's all I really care. I'm still eating it.
Yeah.
Whatever it is. You remember that a few years back, when I say a few years back, I mean like 30 or 40, they had this rumor going around that McDonald's restaurants were using kangaroo meat in their hamburgers.
I never heard that. You just made that up.
Oh, I did not just make that up. That was a rumor that was going around in like the 80s.
Well, I assume that if you went to a McDonald's in Australia, that it would have hamburger meat or kangaroo meat in it. That wouldn't surprise me a bit.
And you know what they call it? That special? It's the Hoppy Meal.
That's
okay.
I don't even know where to go with that
joke.
Hey,
that was true. I'll get verification on that for our next podcast, Rick.
Okay. Hey, I've got an.
Don't you worry about that.
Since it's Easter time, I've got an Easter question for you.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. You're Catholic, good practicing Catholic, right?
Okay,
and Easter revolves around Jesus of Nazareth coming back to life, resurrecting, you know, in the grave, right?
Right. Getting ready for that, I watched Ben-Hur, but go ahead.
Okay, well, that's a good start. Okay, so when you think about, if you give a little thought to it, Jesus, you know, he's dead, he's in the tomb, he's laying there, right? And then, you know, of his own volition, he just wakes up. Artists have different versions of him coming out of the tomb. My question is, do you figure that he just kind of stood up and stretched a little and kind of felt around for those wounds in his hands and side and then just kind of magicked the stone to where it rolled away a little bit and then strolled out and looked around and said, well, back to work? Or do you figure that that he just came out, like, exploded out of it with beams of light and that the stone just busted apart and all the soldiers who are around it are, like, terrified and run off? Which version do you figure is the version that happened?
Well, most accounts of it, I think, say the stone was rolled away. So I'm thinking that it wasn't exploded out. And that I think that if you got the power to come back to life, you got the power to mentally will that stone to roll out of the way and not have it yourself.
And then do you come flying out then?
I gotta go with the beams of light. If he wanted to, he could have come flying out just like Neo from the Matrix.
Yeah. And, you know, and you think about it later on, you know, they talk about him coming into the upper room to meet with the apostles, even though the door was locked. I'm guessing he didn't even have to roll the stone away if he wanted to. He just could have walked right through it.
Well, through it. Right through it, yeah. But I think it'd be cool if he stepped out in his totally white robes and put on a pair of totally white sunglasses and then, you know,
And then flew off like Keanu Reeves at the end of Matrix. You know, that scene at the end of Matrix is the coolest part of that whole movie, mainly because of that really super cool song they play right then.
Why don't we have that at the opening of our next podcast?
Well, I'll have to work on that or close this one. Yeah, I'm guessing, you know, when Jesus did come out, if he had come out to the tune of some real blaring music would have been cool too. You know, when he was born, they had the heavenly choir showed up and sang for the shepherds. I think it would have been pretty easy to have him show up right there and sing some like the Hallelujah Chorus as he comes out. Right.
Yeah. Well, isn't there a line from the song Mall of Kintyre singing like Heavenly Choir?
Yeah. Yeah. Like that.
You could have that.
I never thought of Jesus coming out to the tune of bagpipes, though.
Well, you know, you're trying to satisfy all people. Come on, man. Who doesn't like bagpipes?
Well, happy Easter, man. Okay, here is my real Easter question.
Okay, go on.
This is more of a candy-related question. Okay, you're a grown man now, right? Sort of. You go to the grocery store and there's the candy aisle, the Easter candy aisle. They've cleared away all the other groceries out of one aisle, and it's just filled with Easter candy.
Yeah.
You know, and back in the day when you were going to put together an Easter basket, you know, for someone, of course the Easter bunny brings it for the kids, but let's say you're fixing one for your wife, you know, and you want
a backup one. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. You want a sampling of different candies and stuff in it, like maybe a rabbit, a chocolate, or a marshmallow egg or something like that. As an adult, do you ever go into that candy aisle now and just buy a bag of Easter candy just since you have a bag of Easter candy? Just because you can.
Yeah, and I feel no guilt or shame in it. I mean, if I desire that, I'm at the point in my life, you know, very close to death now. If I want to enjoy a little Easter candy, I'm going to enjoy a little Easter candy, okay?
Yeah, I think so, too. You know, what's to stop me from buying a whole bag of marshmallow chocolate-covered rabbits and just eating them one after another? And Well, like you said, though, you know, how far off am I from the veterinarian and Sue making the decision about the plug? You know, I might as well enjoy myself when it comes to candy, don't you think?
I'm guessing that that's keeping her awake at night right now.
Hey, you know.
Should I end Rick tomorrow?
You know.
Yes or no?
I'm guessing that if I bought a bag of Easter candy, you know, just a big bag of Easter candy and had it stuffed in the closet, that I wouldn't be the only one whose hand went in that bag, that that the other family members would go, well, you know, I could go for a malted milk bird egg right now.
But you can get malted milk balls year-round, man.
Yeah, but not looking like a speckled bird egg. You know, that's the big difference, you know. You know, that's what makes Easter a good thing. What about wax teeth? Do they still make them? Is that something that you ever put in an Easter basket? Wax teeth? Or is that more just a Halloween thing?
Why would you put wax teeth in an Easter basket?
I don't know. It just seemed like a kind of cool thing. I've seen those.
If you put a pair of like real big buck teeth, like rabbit teeth,
yeah,
in the form of a wax teeth, now that would work.
Yeah, so that it looks, so that you'd look like a big Easter rabbit when you were walking around.
Yeah, then you can rationalize it.
Now the
what's up, Doc?
Did you go ever get the rabbit ears that you'd wear on Easter?
You mean like you put on your dog? Like a Cadbury commercial?
Yeah, like that. You know, when
we never had that kind of thing.
When we were a kid, they did not have those Cadbury cream eggs. They kind of came right when we were like teenagers, if I remember correctly. Now,
yes, and they were wonderful. They were a phenomenon.
Yeah, when you'd break them open, yeah. And they would have like a kind of a pretend candy yolk inside of them.
Yeah, oh, they're wonderful.
Now, if you're
it's a British thing, you know.
But those Cadbury cream eggs, I did not know that. Is that where they came
Cadbury
from?
Cadbury is a British company, yeah.
I thought he was Richie Rich's butler.
Well, it is. One and same, and he's British too, isn't he?
Yeah, I guess so. You know, those Cadbury cream eggs are pretty good, but if you're wanting an honest-to-God sugar coma, that's where you go for it. I mean, that is one big chunk of chocolate and sugar confection.
Yeah, this is coming from a guy who just ate a whole bag of chocolate eggs.
I don't eat them all at once. I scatter them out. You know, and I'll just confess.
What, so you can find them later? What are you saying?
I'll just confess.
You spread them out.
I just confess that Sue and I bought like three bags of them so that they're in the closet so that over the next few weeks and months, you know, if we feel like having an Easter egg, we can grab one. You know, we're not going to run out for a while. We've stocked up.
Well, that's great, Rick. I'm happy for you that you're enjoying Easter in such a way still.
Oh,
at your advanced age.
I forgot to tell you, we have a letter that was written to us. Do you want to hear it?
A letter?
Yeah, we got a letter.
Is it from the Easter Bunny?
No, it is not from the Easter Bunny at all. It's from a listener. It says, Dear Ringhausen Brothers, I have a question for Alan. When you're in a fight using brass knuckles, should you wear rubber gloves so that you don't cut your own hand? Thanks.
There's what a girly question that is. No rough and tumble dude would ever put a rubber glove over his brass knuckles.
No, I get
you're making a statement.
No, I think you're saying that you wear them under it. So you put the rubber glove on, and then you put the brass knuckles on, and then you don't cut your own hand when you're engaging in fisticuffs.
Okay, let me put it this way. If you're badass enough to wear a pair of brass knuckles, you're not going to put a rubber glove on first.
I don't know. I find it interesting that they asked that question of you and not me.
Well, which of the Ringhausen brothers is most likely to wear a pair of brass knuckles?
Brad?
Yeah, probably right.
Have you ever worn a pair of brass knuckles? I don't mean in a fight. Just put on a set just to kind of see how they feel in your hand.
I think I may have, you know, like picked up a set in like a novelty shop or something like that and said, wow, these are dangerous. Why would somebody, of all the questions that they could ask, why would they ask something like that when we've never broached the subject of brass knuckles or any other weird weapon like that?
Well, I guess the fact that every single intro we've had for the last 98 shows tells about what a badass you are in terms of being a professional gator wrestler and, you know, scrapper, that maybe they thought you were scrappy, that you had a history of grappling and fighting when you were younger.
Yeah, I was... This is just like a few years ago.
You had a fight where you had brass knuckles? Yeah.
And I come out of the restroom, and there's this drunken guy standing outside the door, and he's kind of stumbling towards the door. He stops, and he looks at me, and like stretches his arm out and grabs me by the shoulder. He says, "You look like a guy who likes to fight."
And did you know this guy?
I had never seen him before in my life.
And he just sized you up.
Yes, and said, "You look like a guy who likes to fight." And you know how I responded to it?
He knocked him down.
No, I said, "You got that right." He just kind of laughs and goes on into the bathroom.
Well, of all the ways that could have turned out, I think that was about the best it could have had happened, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, there's a lot of things that could have gone wrong there. He could have punched me. He could have thrown up on me. He could have peed on me.
any one of those.
None of them. I didn't want any of that.
I could see that. So then did you go back to your table and just pick a fight with the first person you saw there?
I walked up and I punched Dad in the nose.
There you go.
I felt like fighting after that conversation.
Yeah, and then the old man pulled out the brass knuckles and just cleaned your plow, didn't he?
Just walloped me. Broke my jaw. Yeah, Dad and his brass knuckles.
Indeed. Well, I think it's just about getting close to that time. So I guess I want to just say Happy Easter to everybody.
Well, that should have perked them all up.
And see you later from Rick Gator.
And Alligator.
This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. The Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour is brought to you by Uncle Den's Roasters. Tastes just like chicken, but it's not. And by Cannoli's Canine Cough Drops. If your dog is coughing, he's coughing for a cannoli. No portion of today's broadcast may be reproduced without the express written consent of the North American Alligator Wrestling Association. And with that little bit of legal business in hand, see you later from Rick Gator and Alligator. This has been a Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Network production, except no substitutes, because there aren't any.